السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ثم ما بعد. So we're still discussing the book of الصدق, the chapter on truthfulness from رياض الصالحين, hadith number 58. But just to give a connection or context to connect the hadith from before to this hadith. The previous hadith, if you remember, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, من سأل الله الشهادة بالصدق بلغه الله منازل الشهداء والمات على فراشه. If someone sincerely, from the bottom of their heart, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for martyrdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the status of martyrs, even if they die on their bed, which means they will get that status, even if they haven't actually gone through it, because of their sincerity of the heart. So this hadith right now speaks about how sincere people should be and how distracted they can be in such a noble cause like this one. I mean, people might think, well, it's easy to be sincere when it comes to fighting for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah, but a lot of temptation as well that can take that sincerity away. And he's now speaking of one of those examples, this hadith. قال عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه وارضاه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم غزى نبي من الأنبياء صلوات الله وسلامه عليهم فقال لقومه. Says one of the earlier prophets who was out on an expedition proclaiming among his people the following. So he was leaving on an expedition for the fight for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, fil jihad fi sabilillah. So he instructed his people upon their departure. لا يتبعني رجل ملك بضع امرأة وهو يريد أن يبني بها ولما يبني بها. He said, no man should follow him who had married a woman with whom he wished to consummate the marriage, but haven't done that yet. No man should follow me. Which means if you already had your nikah done, you have not yet, fulfilled your marriage, then go ahead before you decide to come out with me. And then he says, قال ولا أحد بنى بيوتا لم يرفع سقوفها. Also he said, no one yet had built houses on which he had not yet put the roofs. Like you start constructing a house, the foundation is there, the pillars are up, you haven't put the roof yet, which means you're not done yet with that. So don't leave until you finish this. Finish the house first. قال ولا أحد اشترى غنما أو خليفات وهو ينتظر أولادها. He says also, or who had bought sheep or pregnant she camels and was expecting them to produce young. Means if you have done that as well, don't leave with me. Stay home. Now, why? What would he say that for? So the ulama, they say the reason for this because they just want to make sure that, look, when you go to something like this, you're leaving everything behind for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as a result, people when they leave and they still haven't fulfilled these obligations or these matters, their heart is divided. So their attention is not going to be where it's supposed to be. So he said, no, finish this first so you can make your full commitment and then you can decide if you want to come out or not. So if you had your nikah done, get your marriage done first, and then you can decide if you want to stay or you can join. Or if you had started in a project to build a house, finish that first and say if you would like to stay or come with me. Because he did not want to have anybody to be distracted on that path. You have to come sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving nothing behind, reoccupying your mind. And then he continued. قال فغزا. So this prophet, he went on that expedition. فدنا من القرية صلاة العصر أو قريبا من ذلك. He came close that town where they were to invade, near صلاة العصر, around عصر time, or close to عصر time. قال فقال الشمس إنك مأمورة وأنا مأمور. He told the sun that both it and he were under command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like he said, look, you have a command from Allah, and I have a command from Allah. Your command from Allah is to continue to move until the sunset. And my command is to fight before the sunset. Now, we're going to learn that later on that this prophet was Yusha ibn Nun, Joshua. And Yusha ibn Nun, the disciple of Musa alayhi salam, from Bani Israel. And Bani Israel on the Sabbath, which is make sure that this fight was on a Friday. So if the sun goes down, that's it. They have to stop. So he's telling the son, look, listen, I have a command to finish this battle. And you have a command to continue to set. So could you please just wait for me? Just wait. فقال اللهم احبسها علينا. So he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asked Allah azza wa jal, Ya Allah, hold it back for us. Just give us the chance to finish this battle before the sun goes down. فحبست حتى فتح الله عليه. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held the sun for him. How? Allahu a'lam. Allah is the creator, Jama'ah. Time is his. And how the time was calculated in that moment? Allahu ta'ala a'lam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held the sun for Yusha ibn Nun. As the Prophet has mentioned, another hadith exclusively that it was held for Yusha ibn Nun alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu gave them victory. Fatah Allahu alayhi. فَجَمَعَ الْغَنَائِمِ. They collected all the war spoils. Now, in the past, Bani Israel before Islam, it was prohibited for people who go to the battlefield to take anything from the battlefield, like no war spoils. Why? Still to keep their intention sincere. You're not carrying anything with you, you're not getting anything out with you. So what do they do with these war spoils? They collect everything and put them in a big pile, and a fire will come and take them from sky. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the hadith, قال فجمع الغنائم. So they collected all these spoils. فجاءت النار يعني. So the fire came لتأكلها. So when the fire came to consume it, لم تطعمها. Didn't touch it. Didn't touch all the spoils. فقال نبي الله إن فيكم غلولا. He said there was a dishonored person among you. There's someone who is dishonored amongst you. Like someone basically stole and he embezzled from these ghana'im before it's distributed to the people, at least they put into the fire. So that's why the fire did not consume those spoils. فَقَالَ فَلِيُبَايِعْنِي مِنْ كُلِّ قَبِيلَةٍ رَجُلٍ. So he asked from all the 12 tribes of Bani Israel to send a representative to give him the pledge that we are clear. So he shook hands with each one of them. And then قال فَلَزِقَتْ يَدُ رَجُلٍ بِيَدِهِ. One of those people, once their hand stuck into Yusha ibn Nun's hand. He says, الْغَلُولُ فِيكُمْ. The dishonest person is in your tribe. Bring me your people. قال فَلَزِقَتْ يَدُ رَجُلَيْنِ أَوْ ثَلَاثَ. So as he was shaking hand with the people of that tribe, two or three people's hand stuck in the hands of Yusha ibn Nun. And he put them on the side. Come over here. Stay here. Stay here. When he was done, قَالَ فِيكُمُ الْغَلُولِ. You are the dishonest people. Where is it? Where is it that you're hiding? قَالْ فَجَاءُوا بِرَأْسٍ مِثْلَ رَأْسِ بَقَرَةٍ مِّنَ الذَّهَبِ. He said that when they left, they brought like an amount of gold as the big, as the size of the cow's head. Like huge, huge amount of gold. Can you imagine the temptation, Jama'ah? In our time, can you imagine the temptation? There are countries invading countries for this these days. Destroying, you know, livelihood of others and destroying order in countries and villages just for the sake of these spoils, subhanAllah. And here he says, where is it? And they brought that out. فَوَضَعَهَا. So he put it into the spoils. فَجَاءَتِ النَّارُ فَأَكَلَتْهَا. So the fire came and consumed everything. فَلَمْ. And that's what the Prophet now is saying. فَلَمْ تَحِلَّ الْغَنَائِمُ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلَنَا. He goes, no one before us had the privilege of taking the ghana'im, the war spoils, for themselves, except us. And that's what Allah said at the beginning of Surah Al-Anfal. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَلَى الْأَنْفَالِ قُلْ أَنْفَالُ اللَّهِ الرَّسُولِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it halal for the believers from the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال لِمَا رَأَى ضَعْفَنَا وَعَجْزَنَا فَأَحَلَّهَا لَنَا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He saw our weakness and incapacity, so He allowed us to take these ghanam. Hadith rawah al-Bukhari wa Muslim. There are tons of benefits from this hadith, but I'm going to share a few things here quickly, inshallah. The first thing we learn is that in order for sincerity to be acquired, jama'ah, your heart needs to be clean all the time. Like if your heart is attached to a house you're building, a car you're buying, a person to marry, a job to finish, a project to work on, If your heart is divided into all these matters, I'm not saying they're haram. I'm not saying they're haram. But the more your heart is busy processing all these things, obviously the less space is left for what? For Allah Azza wa Jal. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a beautiful example. He goes, imagine going to a marketplace where all the stalls are open. All the stalls are open. And you go from one shop to the other one, like, you know, window shopping, what people usually do. They go window shopping, and by the time they go around, what happens? They come out of the marketplace, what? So exhausted. Although they bought nothing. But what are they exhausted for? Because their heart desired all these things, and they couldn't get anything. So they get so tired just desiring it, knowing that they can't decide on anything or even take anything with them. He says, this is the example of the heart is busy with so many things to process and desire and please and take this and that. Because now imagine going to the exact same marketplace where all the stalls are closed. Imagine all the windows are closed, so they have their blinds down. So you see nothing. So you go, you zoom through the marketplace, and you leave, and you don't have to stress yourself out for anything because everything was closed. Because imagine if your heart is closing all these doors to the dunya, how much energy you still have in your heart to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sincere. So in order for us to really have that clear heart for to be sincere, you have to remove those ala'iq, as the ulama they call them. Like these sticky things. They keep sticking in your heart. You have to take them out. So you can have that energy, inshallah, to restore bin Allah Azza. That's the first thing. The second thing, the miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Yusha ibn Nun. These miracles ended with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, even with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see there was a gap between him and Isa alayhi salam, close to 600 years. Al-ulama, they say, the last miracles that we have seen of changing yani the laws of physics for things happened at the time of Isa alayhi salam, and few happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like what? The water gushing from his hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The food increases because of his barakah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are little things. But things as major events like happened to Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam blowing into a clay bird and it just flies, stopped there. The other thing, in terms of the ghanaim, al-ghanaim was prohibited to all the nations before us. Until the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it became part of the income of the actually, the state, as a matter of fact. The Prophet ﷺ, he takes a fifth, and the four-fifth would be divided among the warriors to encourage them, obviously, and to feel the benefit of the sacrifice of what they do. Until Umar ibn Khattab, he made some adjustment to these rules. But, again, this was not allowed for them to consume and would be destroyed by that fire. So those miracles were done from the time of Musa alayhi salam and Yusha ibn Bani Israel. So we would not see this like this happening from the time of the Prophet sallallahu wasallam alayhi. Now, al-ghalul is when people they steal from public money, and that's different from stealing from private consumption. So private property requires that punishment that we know, chopping the hands off. But public money is different. There's a specific punishment. There's no actually specific punishment, I would say. It's left to the discretion of the judge. But still, people were not allowed to do that. And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Man ghalla," anyone who steals, embezzles from the public property before it was distributed for the world's spoils, will come on the day of judgment, and that thing he stole will be wrapped around his neck from fire. Like a testimony for their, or at least a sign for their theft. May Allah subhanahu protect us from the Sayyid Rabbil Alameen. So be careful, Jama'ah. Beware of touching that public yani wealth. It's not your money, it's not your wealth, and be careful from putting yourself in a situation like that. May Allah protect us all from the Sayyid Rabbil Alameen. Now finally, حتى الصحابة رضي الله عنهم يا جماعة, even الصحابة رضي الله عنهم, no matter how much we say sincerity is required in the battlefield, why would anyone think about even war spoils, you know, when you go into the battlefield? We're human beings after all. We're human beings after all. There is benefit from these things. And even the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were humans as well. on the Battle of Uhud, when the tide of the battle switched to the other side. What was the reason for that? Because the Sahaba who were assigned to stay on the mountain, when they saw that the enemy's army retreating, they found out, you know what, it's over, khalas. So now the advantage is for us, and everybody starts collecting the war spoils, the daggers, the swords, the this and that, all the kind of stuff and so on. So the Sahaba on the mountain, they said, you know what, hey, it's over, let's go and help them with the collection of the war spoils. And the leader says, do not move from your spots, don't. But they did. And that would lead to the loss of the battle, unfortunately. And Allah documented that in Surah Al-Imran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِتَّحُسُّنُوا بِإِذْنِهِ حَتَّى تَفَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَزَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Allah says, remember when you were going after them and you felt that you're winning and then unfortunately you disobeyed and the things then changed around and became against you, and then you're following after what you desired. He says, مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Some were after the dunya and some were after the akhirah. Abdullah Mas'ud says, I never ever thought anybody from the followers of the Prophet ﷺ will be going after the dunya until I heard this ayah. Like, why would any of the Sahaba sacrifice everything in their lives to become Muslims in a time when it was dangerous to be Muslim? He says, why would anyone be in this position and still going after the dunya? Because I never thought anybody will be Muslim and still have a trace in their heart for the dunya until I read this ayah. That tells you how much Abdullah Mas'ud Abdullah Ani yani was, you could say, in the, mashallah, yani, I don't want to say the ideal world, but a lot of us might be in the same position sometimes. But we are human beings after all, jama'ah. We need to protect ourselves from these thoughts and from these ideas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Any question, jama'ah? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.